Because I think there's in our world, there's kind of a heightened anxiety level over the last year and a half, 2 years. Actually, I think it's been longer than that. We've been fighting on Facebook for years now, right? It feels like the world is less cordial and more rude than it's ever been. It creates such a spirit of anxiety and fear in all of us, and we feel like our world is changing, and we don't know what to do with it, and then you throw COVID on top of that and all the other problems in the world, and it sort of created this heightened sense of anxiety. But for the believer, for the person who follows Christ, who walks with Christ, who serves Christ, who revolves their life around Jesus, it doesn't have to be that way. We don't have to live in anxiety and fear and worry all the time. We can let God help us move out of those times. Now, there are going to be times we have to fight it more than others, but it doesn't have to be a life sentence. And so I want to start with this little slide. It's a sign you've seen probably if you've been on vacation or you've watched any old Christmas movie. You've seen this one. Please don't feed the bears. Now, there's every national park you go to that is, up north, you see these signs, don't feed the bears. Because what's going to happen is the bear is going to say, oh, look there. That's the guy with the groceries. I'm going to come back tomorrow, and I'm going to eat some more. And he's going to be there, and he's going to keep feeding me. And if he doesn't feed me, I'm going to break in his car, and I'm going to open up his cooler on my own. I'm just going to be there. Bears, when you feed wild bears, they become domesticated. They start showing up wherever there's food. In certain areas in our country, people are told, don't even leave your bird seed out, because the birds will find the bears will find the bird seed, and they will keep showing up in your backyard, and it's going to cause problems. And fear is kind of the same way. When we feed bears too much, the bears just show up. And I want you to look at the next. This is what happens. This is what happens when you feed the bears. They're just like, oh, he's cooking dinner. Okay. I've got my spot. Come on over, Dad and Mom. Fear has that same thing that happens in all of our life. It grips us. We keep feeding our fear, and it just shows up all the time. And we think it's part of the family. We have lived with fear for so long and anxiety for so long that we think, well, that's just what my life is. It's going to show up. But I want to challenge that notion this morning from Scripture, that if we stop feeding the fear, we can stop living in fear. But if we feed it, it's just going to keep coming back. So what do we have to do? What does this all look like to stop feeding our fears? Faith and fear are opposites. You know, when you put two magnets together and you can't push them, they slide to one side. That's what faith and fear do. Faith and fear in your life and mine are always fighting for top spot. But then if we give in to one of those, or we give in to fear, then it just stays there. On and on and on and on. And so when something happens in our life, when we get a bad report from the doctor, just overcome by fear. When that hospital bill comes in, whoosh, we're just covered in fear. When we hear about layoffs coming, we get fear. When we're thinking about our children, we let fear sometimes guide us. And now listen, I'm not going to say that I've got this one whipped, all right? We're all in this together. And we all need to grow in this one. Now, when we give in to fear, again, it keeps showing up in our lives. So what is it that we need to do? So if I'm going to fight fear in my life, there's a few things the Bible tells me that I have to do. I have to be more than occasionally on duty looking for fear. I can't just say, just look for it occasionally. I've got to constantly be saying, okay, I'm going to live my life in faith today. I'm going to walk in faith today. I'm not going to let fear dictate my path. I'm not going to let fear dictate what I'm thinking. I'm going to grow, and I'm going to let God help me in this. Fear begins with a thought. Fear begins with one little thought. Now, some fear is good. If you see a snake in your backyard today, jump. It's okay. If they get it on video and make some money on YouTube, it's all right. Hey, listen, we need to, if somebody jumps out from behind the door at you, it's okay to jump back and punch them right in the nose. All right, it's just okay. Fear is okay in small doses. It protects us. I remember one time, my dad loves to scare people. I mean, it's his life force. He just loves it, all right? Now, one time he brought home a mask of an old man's face. And he went to the back of the house and in his bedroom, and he put this mask on. And I was about 13 years old, and I'm in the living room, and I'm watching TV, and I'm going to bebop into the kitchen and get something to eat. And coming through the other door of the kitchen is this old man in a denim jacket, and he's coming through the house, you know, with just barely able to walk. And the back door was very close. I could have just shot out the back door, but for whatever reason, you know, that fear flight thing or fight thing came on me, and I ran over to this guy that I did not recognize, and I grabbed him by the face, and I started slinging back and forth and back and forth. I was going for it, and then I hear my dad's voice coming out of this mask, and he's laughing his head off. I was not amused, and he said to me, "What were you going to do?" I said, "I was going to kill you. You were in our house. You're going down, old man. I don't know. I can take you. I know I can take you." Now, there have been other times in my life I'm like, I'm just backing away from this one. This is a little too much. Every one of us has those moments where fear set in and we're like, this is good. I'm glad. When you walk to the edge of a cliff and you see that you could fall and you go, I'm just going to back off a couple of steps. That fear is a good thing. But when fear sets in and it becomes prolonged and it takes over seasons of our life, that is not the plan of God for us. To be scared of a snake, you can be scared of a spider, scared of a frog if you want to be. Whatever it is, that's okay. It gives you that little shot of adrenaline to move you away from the fear. But when you start to live in fear and it's constant, day after day after day, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What am I going to do? It becomes debilitating in our lives. Now, we have to make choices in all this, okay? It's not a moment in our lives where I'm just not scared anymore. I'm just good. That's not the way this works. Scripture shows us how we can overcome this. So I want to start with James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. It says this, but when you ask, he's talking about when you ask God for wisdom, okay? If you don't have wisdom, you need wisdom. The Bible says, ask God for wisdom. He'll give it to you every single time. He does not withhold wisdom. So there are times in our life when we have a problem in front of us and we just need to know, God, what do I do? What kind of wisdom can you give me? He says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Doubt is the thought, right, that creeps in that eventually leads to fear. You must believe and not doubt because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. So he's saying when you have doubts that God is going to take care of you. Now listen, the Bible says, I believe, but help my unbelief. It's saying, help me in the moments that I doubt. Help me in the moments that I fear. Help me in the moments that I'm worried. Lord, I'm human and I know I'm moving toward a healthy approach to faith and fear. But there are moments when I doubt. So he's trying to show us what it looks like when we doubt. It's sort of a downward spiral. We let that one thought come in. What if God doesn't do what he said he would do? And so it grows a little bit from there. And if you keep feeding it and watering it, it gets a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger and it stays longer. And then the last scripture says such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. And so double-minded is pretty simple. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this. I'm going to go there, I'm going to go there. And so it's we're always living in this state of limbo, wondering which direction to go, what to do, how to handle it. And then we become unstable. Our footing becomes unstable because we're not on the foundation in a solid manner, and our life starts to crumble a little bit when we don't trust God 100%. I want us to go to the New Testament, back when Jesus was walking the earth. and look at Simon Peter. Simon Peter was a man who was known for his faith. He was strong, but he was also known for his foul mouth. He was known as a man of passion. I mean, sometimes he would try to put Jesus in his place. Jesus would be like, I'm going to do this. And Simon Peter like, no, we're not going to let that happen. And then Jesus would have to say, if he was a Texan, Jesus would have said, shut up, okay? He just said, get thee behind me, Satan, is what he would say to Peter. So Peter was this man of strong passion. And when he was committed, he was committed. But there were moments in his life when his humanity and his fear showed up. One of those moments of passion that led to fear was when the disciples were all out on the Sea of Galilee. They are in the boat, and they are crossing the sea, and a storm blows in. And it's scary because the boats they had then are not like the boats we have now. And through the mist and the waves and the darkness and the clouds, they see someone walking across the water toward the boat. And all of the disciples except Peter go, who is that? Is that a ghost? What's going on? They were scared. And he gets closer and closer. Simon Peter recognizes, oh, that's Jesus. And he says, Jesus, if that's you, call me out so that I can walk to you on the water. This is one of those moments of passion where he's just like, Jesus is out there. I'm getting to Jesus no matter what the problems are, no matter what the storm looks like. I just want to get to Jesus. And Jesus said one word, come. So Simon Peter climbs out of the boat. I can imagine him sitting on the edge of the boat like, here we go. I'm coming. And taking a step. And he starts to walk to Jesus on the water. He walking to Jesus. And Jesus is out there. I can imagine it being a proud papa moment for Jesus. Like, look, Simon Peter is growing up right before our eyes. He keeps his eyes on Jesus, and he's focused on Jesus. And then he does what we do as humans. He remembers, oh, yeah, there's some bad circumstances around me. There's a storm, a temporary storm. This is important. Every storm eventually blows itself out. Every storm in your life and mine eventually loses its power. No matter what kind of tornado, hurricane comes through, it eventually dissipates and goes away. So Simon Peter is looking at Jesus. He's walking on the water, and no doubt all the other disciples are like, dude, he is awesome. Look at him go. This is amazing. Wow. And then he looks over and sees a wave, and he's like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that wave. And some mist from the waves starts hitting him in the side of the face. And the wind, he starts to sense the wind. He recognizes the storm. And he starts looking around. He took his eyes off of Jesus, and he starts looking at the storm. And all the stuff that can take him down. And the Bible says he started to sink. Now you can say, oh, Simon Peter's a loser. But I'm saying he walked on the water first, all right? I haven't done that one, all right? But he starts to sink, and Jesus reaches out and grabs him by the hand and pulls him back up and takes him to the boat. He got his eyes off of the eternal and got his eyes onto the temporary. The storm is going to blow itself out at some point. The storm will be gone and be over at some point, but he started focusing on the temporary stuff long enough that he started to sink because his eyes were off of Jesus. What would happen if you and I focused on Jesus so intently, that we started to forget the negative circumstances around us? We still prayed for those negative circumstances. We still did our part. We still take care of things that need to be taken care of. We still serve. We still reach out. But our lives are so intently focused on Jesus that we are doing the miraculous without even realizing we're doing the miraculous. We're walking on the storm. We're walking on the water through the storm because we're focused on the right place. Now this is important. Notice that one of the strongest causes of fear is looking at our surroundings. One of the biggest causes of fear in your life and mine is when we look at the stuff around us. Now, can we just be real honest this morning? If we look at our world right now, it's messed up. It's easy to be fearful when you turn on the news or when you turn on Facebook, for that matter. It's easy. When we view our surroundings based on our own vision, we remove God from the process. I'm looking at circumstances. I'm looking at things that are happening around me instead of the one that is in control of every storm. And when I take God out of the process, I stop living by faith and I start living by fear. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says this, "For we live by faith, not by sight." We live by faith, not by sight. He's saying, your job is to live by what you know about God, what the book tells you about God. You walk by faith, not by what you can see. The people in my life, throughout my life, that have been the most calming presence in my life have been people that live by faith and not by sight. Because something bad is happening in everybody's life right now. Most of us feel like nobody's got it like me. Nobody's got the problems I got. I got problems. And let me tell you about my problems. But if we really looked into other people's lives, they're dealing with the same stuff, dealing with the same issues. There's only so many issues. It comes down to our health and our family and our finances and our job and just a handful of things, really. And everybody's dealing with it on some level at some time. For we live by faith. Faith says, I trust God even when the circumstances, the sight, the stuff I can see, is not good. Now look at the second verse here, Hebrews 11, 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So he's saying to us, God blesses us when we trust him. I don't know about you, but I'd much rather trust God than trust me. I know me too well to trust me very long at a time, right? I got to trust God. There's an old Western movie, and one of the last lines is the cowboy is he's telling the girl how much he loves her, but he's lost everything he has, and he says, I have nothing left to offer you. I have no dignity. I have no pride. I have no money. I have nothing to offer you. I don't even know how we'll make a living, but I know I will love you for the rest of my life. Now, when I come to God and I say, Lord, I got nothing left. I got no dignity. I got no pride. I don't have enough money to impress you. My track record is not impressive. I just need you. What does it say? Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. When I seek God, I'm saying, Lord, I put my whole faith in you, not in me, in you. Now, Satan is going to whisper lies to us. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. Yeah, he's going to tell you you're a failure and a loser and that circumstances are going to take you down. And we have to sometimes just stop and go, would God tell me I'm a loser? Can you imagine God going, you're a loser, but I love you? I just can't see God doing it that way. Anytime we're getting that kind of feedback, it's not from God. God is never going to tell you you're going to end up all alone. You're going to end up dead broke. That is not the way God operates. God teaches us to encourage one another. Of course, he's going to do the same thing to us. We have to decide if we're going to walk by faith or we're going to walk by fear. Now let's go back to the Old Testament for just a second. The Israelites were about to go into the Promised Land, or they thought they were about to go into the Promised Land. And God allowed Moses to pick 12 spies, 12 guys from the Israelites, to go into the Promised Land, the land that God had promised them that they would live. He picked these 12 men and he said, okay, go and search out the land, spy on the people that are already there, find out what's going on, and then come back and give us a report. Well, all 12 of them came back. The first 10 that we don't really know a whole lot about, they said there are giants living in that land. There are giants in the Promised Land. And they accentuated the fact that there are giants over there. They even went so far as to say, we look like grasshoppers compared to them. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you've ever lived in fear and called yourself a grasshopper, it's bad. I mean, you don't have a very good outlook on life. And these 10 men said, they're giants, we're grasshoppers, we don't have a chance. What they did was completely left God out of the equation. They said, here are the circumstances, we're going to leave God out, and that equals we fail. Now, two of these guys, two of the 12, were named Joshua and Caleb. And the Bible talks us a good bit about these two men. They said, there are grape clusters so big in this land that it takes two people to carry them. They said, this land is flowing with milk and honey. We can do this. We can fight these guys. We can defeat them. God is on our side. Let's go. They were fired up and ready, even though they were in the minority. And let me just drop this one in. If you're trusting God every day of your life, you are going to be in the minority. You're going to have to decide, am I going to have faith when other people are looking at me and saying it's not going to work? Or am I going to have faith when other people say, you believe that dumb book, the Bible? You're going to have faith and stay strong. So these two men, Joshua and Caleb, said, we can do it. So they didn't go into the promised land. The Bible says that God let them wander around for 40 years, and everybody who doubted God's power died in the wilderness, and Joshua and Caleb ended up with the next generation of people in the promised land. Faith got them to the promised land. Fear led all those other people to die in the wilderness. Now, when I'm going through life right now, I don't see life as the promised land and the wilderness. We don't go about it that way. But we do see it in terms of good and bad. And God cares about the good stuff in your life. He wants to bless you. But there are times when we have to say, I'm going through this and I'm convinced that God's going to walk with me through this problem. We got to be convinced that God's word is true. We've got to put our faith in Him. We can't feed the bears. We can't feed the fear. We got to feed the faith. Fear will cause us to walk by sight every day of our lives. We'll be looking at circumstances and constantly waiting for the day that the problem is removed. Whew, if I can ever get past this. We said this last week. If I can ever get past this, then it'll be okay. I'm going to give you some bad news this morning. When you get past this, there's another this waiting for you. There's never a time in your life, my life, on this earth that we are going to be without problems. Anytime I see somebody say, life is so great, we don't have any problems, and it's just so wonderful, I'm like, man, it's going to be a hard fall. Whoo, it's coming. There are times when we're on that mountaintop and we rejoice at what God has done. And we say, look, God brought me out of this. But never at the expense of saying, I'm never going to have another problem. Because that's not going to happen. So when we're trusting God and we're walking with Him, there are some things the Bible tells us to do. Look at 2 Timothy 1 and 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Let's stop there. Now, Paul is talking to a young pastor. He's a very young guy. We don't know exactly what's on Timothy's mind or what Timothy's being bothered with, but we know he is weighed down tremendously, all right? And Paul says, look, for God has not given you a spirit of fear. If you're afraid, that did not come from God. That's what he's saying to this young man. He said, if you're afraid, that did not come from God. He said, here's what God gave you. God didn't give you a spirit of fear or timidity to make you timid, to make you cower, to make you back into a corner. God did not give you that. Here's what God gave you. God gave you power, love, and self-discipline. Now, those are three big words, and we're just going to hit them real quick. Power. God has given you power, the might, the energy, the ability for the task. So can I say to somebody this morning, I just want to, I hope, build somebody's faith this morning. Whatever the problem is in front of you today, whatever the mountain is in front of you today, the Bible says He's given you the power, the might, the energy. When you say, I'm just tired. You've been given the energy and the ability for the task. God never, the Bible tells us this, God never puts more on us than we can handle with His help. He never weighs us down with more than we're capable of carrying with his help. So you've got the power. You've got the ability. You've got the energy. You've got the might to handle the problem in front of you. So he said to Timothy, you've got power. God's given you. God has also given you love. Now, in so many times we look at this word love and we just think about, this is how I feel. I feel loved. Love is not just a feeling, all right? Sometimes love hurts. Sometimes love is painful. Sometimes it's the opposite. We are supposed to love the people in our lives, and that's what he's talking about here. It's the goodwill and the esteem with which we deal with others. Can we just hang on right here for a second? He said, you've been given power to handle the task in front of you. You've been given love. Here's what happens to us when we're dealing with fear. We completely turn inward. I'm afraid, so I've got to take care of me. Self-preservation goes into place. Have you ever seen those videos? Go to YouTube later. Somebody is scared. There's a whole family walking down the road, and somebody is scared. And then everybody runs in different directions and leaves the kid standing right there, whatever was scaring them. And they forgot. Self-preservation sets in. When I get scared, I'm going to run. I'm going to hide. That's just what human nature is. We start to turn inward, and our fear dictates our next step. We can only think of ourselves. Paul told Timothy, God gave you power to handle the task, and God gave you love so that you don't turn inward. He gave you goodwill. He gave you the esteem so that you can stand up. You know, you can't serve somebody when you feel bad about yourself. Because you're thinking, I don't have anything to offer. They don't care what I'm saying. They don't care what I think. And so we cower. We back away. This says God's given you the esteem in Christ, the goodwill to deal with other people, to love other people, to serve other people. So when I get afraid, I start to back away from people. You ever notice when you get scared in life, you start to back away? I'm not telling them about this problem. I'm not going to tell them about that problem. I'm not going to ask them to pray because I'll be embarrassed. They know this is going on in my life. And so God, Satan wants to isolate us. God wants us to interact with people. He's given us power. He's given us love. And then he's given us self-discipline. I hate this one. All right. This is the hard one right here. Self-discipline. Now, self-discipline is very simple. It's the ability to know the right path and the power to take it. I know what I should do, and then I have the power to do it. Self-discipline says I'm going to get myself back in shape with God's help. Paul said to Timothy, he's given you power, he's given you love, and he's given you self-discipline. You're going to have to pull yourself up. Nobody else can do it. You know, when you ever been down, and you're just feeling terrible about your life, and somebody comes to you, and you're like, you can do it, you got this, come on. And they give you the rah-rah speech, and by the time they're done, you're just mad at them. You don't know where I'm at. You don't know what I'm going through. Nobody can pull you up but you. Now, we can bear one another's burdens, but I can't bear you. I can help carry your burden, but I can't carry you. You can carry my burden, but you can't carry me. Not very far, anyway. Self-discipline. God has given you the self-discipline to make the right choices, to know what is right, and to do what is right. Decisions will need to be made. A path will need to be chosen. Stuff needs to be done. We've got to be willing to step up. God's not given us a spirit of fear, all right? Fear will cause us to ignore the power of God. Fear will cause us to ignore the love of God. Fear will cause us to stop making good decisions and just give up. Again, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. God has a way out of fear. I love being around people who are not afraid. I love being around people who are just strong and bold. But here's what I know about them after having spent countless hours with people like that. They had to fight these same battles. They had to learn as they went. They had to grow through the process. They had to make sure that every day they were diligent in making the right choices to move them out of that fear. And when we start to realize that we can trust God, I can trust Him, then I can take it easy. I can trust Him. I can trust God. Can we look at the last slide? Fear is waiting in your car right now. Just like, I know you're going to feed me. Come, bring it on, bring it on, bring on the self-pity. I'm so hungry. Fear is just waiting at the dinner table. Feed me. Feed me some isolation. Get away from everybody and let's feel sorry for ourselves for a minute. And the more we feed it, the bigger it gets and the scarier it gets. That is not God's plan. That is not God's will for your life and my life. For fear to be sitting at the table. Or when you sit up in bed in the morning, fear is staring you in the face. I like that even better. That is not God's plan. Don't be the guy that feeds the fear. Now, there are going to be people who look at you crazy and go, you should be afraid. But no matter what, I know who my master is. Simon Peter got out of the boat walking to Jesus. Here's what I think. Now, this is me. This is not the Bible. Here's what I think happened. I think Simon Peter was going, you know what? It'd be really cool to walk on the water to Jesus. And I know if I sink, he'll save me. If I fail, he's got my back. I think that's what Peter was thinking. There's faith. I'm stepping out. I'm going to push that fear to the side. And I'm stepping out because I know that no matter what happens, God has my back. Just look at somebody and go, God has your back. Would you stand with me if you would? I want us to sing this song together, and I really want it to be just a focus moment for us to say, I'm ready to surrender my fear to God. I'm ready to surrender my fear to Him. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of walking around scared all the time. I'm tired of being afraid. I want to walk in faith. Let's sing it together. Let's do it right now. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
To you. I'm surrendering to you. I need a Savior. I'm kind of messed up. I've made some bad choices. I need you to forgive me. I need you to save me. The Bible says here's the way to do it. We admit that we've sinned. We believe on Jesus and we confess Him as Lord of our life. A, B, C. You pray that prayer in your own way and let God meet you where you are. He'll meet you at the point that you are right now. He's not asking you to come a step further. He's going to meet you there. So we admit that we've sinned. We believe in Jesus and we confess Him as Lord of our life. Here's the second prayer we're going to pray. We're going to pray them at the same time, but here's the second prayer we're praying. I'm tired of being scared. I'm tired of being scared. I'm tired of being afraid. I'm tired of making decisions based on my fear instead of my faith. I'm tired of being guided by my fear. I want to be guided by faith. Lord, I need your help. I believe, but help my unbelief. I don't want to be double-minded anymore. I don't want to be unstable. I want to be a man of God, a woman of God, that knows God deeply and serves Him with my whole heart and trust you, Lord. I want to trust you. I want to trust you. I want to trust you so much that other people think I'm weird. Father, we thank you so much for all you've done for us. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you take care of in our lives that we don't even notice, Lord. We just think it's life happening and we forget that you're the one that gives every good and perfect gift. It all comes from you. Lord, today we're tired of fear. We're tired of worry. We're ready to be stable, single-mindedly focused on you, trusting you with our whole hearts, our whole lives, men and women of faith, not fear. Lord, we're tired of being scared. We want to serve you with our whole lives. And we pray for your help today. We pray, Lord, that this power you have given us, this love you've given us, this self-discipline you've given us would show up in our lives, that we would embrace those three things and let you do your work in us like never before. And we pray, Lord, there'd be testimonies that come from this, God. There'd be testimonies of lives that have been taken back because the right report was believed. The faith report was believed, not the fear report. We just pray, God, these testimonies would empower other people around us and would build other people up. God, for the person who doesn't know you but is starting that journey with you today, we pray, Lord, you'd meet them right where they are as they admit their sin, they believe in you, and they confess you as Lord. God, we just ask you to change them and mold them and turn them into the people you want them to be as you are doing all of us one step at a time. We thank you. We honor you. We give you praise right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Give him some praise, everybody. Amen. 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 I'm going to give you one last thing and we're going to go. There is no way to defeat fear in my life if I don't open this book. I cannot defeat fear if I don't feed myself God's word, because that's where my faith comes from. Satan wants to take this away from us. I know I've been picking on Facebook today, but it can be a tool that Satan uses in our life. And a million other things can be to suck us in and waste our time instead of letting God do the work. You don't have to read your Bible all day, every day. You don't have to read 27 chapters before you go to bed tonight, but maybe one chapter or maybe 10 verses or whatever it looks like, but receive God's word, because that's where our faith comes from. God, bless us as we go. Thank you for this family, this church family. Thank you for all you're doing, and we pray that we put you first this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, everybody.